based on the passage in Leviticus, chapter 22, verse 7, wherein the Torah states, Ubo Hashemesh veToher, veYachar Yochal min haKodeshim, which we accept as meaning that when the sun sets and the day clears, a person undergoing the purifying process may immediately eat truma. The Gemara now questions the validity of this interpretation. Says the Gemara, Umimai, what proof do we have, the high Ubo HaShemesh, that the term Ubo HaShemesh refers to the setting of the sun? V'hai V'toher, and the term V'toher refers to Tar Yema, to the clearing of the day, and thereby we derive the law that Truma may be eaten immediately after sundown, even before the person brings his purifying korban on the next day. Dilma bias oirehu. Perhaps the meaning of the term uvo is the arrival of sunlight instead of sunset. Umay vetoher, and the term vetoher would then refer to the person's purification rather than the clearing of the day. And according to this interpretation, the law would be that a person is not permitted to eat truma until he completes his purifying process by bringing the purifying korban on the following day. Omar Rabbe bar Rav Shile, Rabbe the son of Rav Shile, said in answer, Im Kain, if so, that is, if interpretation, Lei Mekro, then the verse should read, Veyitho, in the future tense, and he shall be purified, thus indicating that the person must yet complete the purifying process. My Veitoher, why does the Torah use the past tense of Veitoher? Since the past tense is used, it can only refer to Tar Yemo, to the clearing of the day, not to the purification of the person. Ki de amre inshe, as people have a saying, Iariv shimshe ve'itchi yomo, the sun has set and the day has cleared away. Be'ma'arove, in the west, meaning Eretz Yisrael, hod de rabbe barav shile lo yishmi'aluhu, the students of the yeshivas in Eretz Israel did not hear of the proof given in Babylonia by Rabbi, the son of Rav Shile. Ubo'ulo, and they too raised the point as to the proper interpretation of the term uvo, miboy, in the following question. Hai hubo ha-shemesh, does the term ubo refer to bias shimshur, the setting of the sun? Umay veitoher, and what would then be the meaning of veitoher? Tahar yemo, the clearing of the day, oidilmo, or does it refer to bias oro, the rising of the sun? Umay veitoher, and what would then toher gavro, the pure? Vehodo poshtuluhu, they later on resolved this question, mi beraisa, by finding proof in a beraisa, mi diktona bi beraisa. Since the Tana states in the Beraisa, Simon Ledover, that a natural sign by which a person can recognize the exact time when it is permissible to eat Ruma, Tseis HaKochovim, is the appearance of three medium-sized stars in the sky. Shmamino, we must derive from this that Bias Shimshehu, that the term Uvo is interpreted by the Tana as referring to sunset, not sunrise. Umay vetoher, and the meaning of vetoher is tahar yemo, the clearing of the day, not the purification of the person. From here until the end of this page, the Talmud will cite statements made by several sages pertaining to the time the evening Shema is to be recited. These statements, which are contained in Beraisas, give different signs by which to recognize the exact time. The Talmud will attempt to ascertain whether these signs denote different times for the reading of the Shema, or they coincide with the time mentioned by the Tana of our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Omar Mar, it was stated previously that Shema may be recited, Mishoa Shakanim Nichnasim Lechol Betrumason, from the time the Kohanim enter to eat their truma. Uriminu, we may ask that there is an apparent contradiction in a beraisa, wherein it is stated, me'emos haikor neshma ba'arovin, from when may we recite the Shema in the evenings? Misheha oni, from the time the poor man, who usually eats before complete darkness, said sin, because he cannot afford to buy a candle, nichnas le'achol pito b'melech, enters the house to eat his bread with salt. Until when may he recite the Shema? At shoh, until the time shehu omed le'ipoter mitech sedosei, he is about to complete his meal. According to this braise, the time to recite the Shema is very limited. It begins with the poor man's meal and ends with the completion of the poor man's meal. The Gemara now analyzes the braise. Says the Gemara, Sefer, the latter part of the braise, saying that the reciting of Shema is limited to the duration of the poor man's meal, vadai plige amasnisen, certainly differs with our Mishnah, which extends the time for at least the first third of the night. Reisha, but with regard to the first part of the Beraisa, which designates the poor man's entry as the starting point for reciting the Shema, Milemo, must we say, Pliga Masnissen, that it differs from the Mishnah's designation, which is the Kohen's eating of Truma, or we may say that both designations coincide. Answers the Gemara, lo, no, there is no contradiction, because oni ve kohen hachi urehu, the poor man and the kohen start their respective meals at the same time. I should like to pause for a moment and elaborate on several points of the Gemara we just learned. First, according to the Gemara, this Tana differs from our Mishnah with regard to the final time for reciting the Shema, which means that in addition to the three opinions stated in the Mishnah, that Shema may be recited either the whole night, half the night, or the first third of the night, there is yet a fourth opinion, which reduces the time limit to the duration of the poor man's meal. Since, as we explained, the difference of opinion is based on the interpretation of Beishor Becho, when thou liest down, the Tana of the Beraise adds yet another interpretation of this term. According to him, Beishor Becho means when people first begin preparing to retire, which for some people is immediately upon completing the evening meal. Secondly, when the Mishnah associated the reciting of Shema with the eating of Truma, the Gemara questioned the reason for such an association and derived from it a new law that Truma may be eaten before bringing the purifying korban. Similarly, we may inquire what new law is to be derived from the association of the Shema with the poor man's eating. The answer is that the Tana did not intend to point to a law as such, but to a lesson of great moral significance. He bids us to look after the poor man and make sure, before we recite the Shema, that he has at least the bare necessities, bread and salt, with which to sustain himself. The pious person, in his eagerness to fulfill a great mitzvah, may give priority to his religious obligations and delay taking care of the poor. By making the Shema dependent upon the poor man's timely eating, he is reminded that the feeding of the poor is as holy an obligation and must even precede the reciting of the Shema. Finally, it is a Talmudic rule that nothing mentioned in the Mishnah or Gemara is superfluous. One may therefore wonder what purpose there is in mentioning the poor man's eating of bread and salt. Suffice it to say, when the poor man enters to eat, the answer is that the mention of salt enables us to understand properly the exact time referred to by the Tana, because salt, more than any other food, must be properly apportioned, and in order to do so, one must have some source of illumination. We know from this that the time to recite Ishma is before total darkness sets in. Says the Gemara, Urminu, we may ask that there is an apparent contradiction to our answer that the Kohen and the poor man start their respective meals simultaneously. For we learned in Eitei Sefta, Me'emosai maschilin likros trishma ba'arovin. From what time do we begin to recite Ishma in the evenings? Misho shebnei odom nichnosim. From the time people come home from shul, le'achol piton b'arvei shabbosos, to eat their bread on Friday nights. Divrei Rab Meir. So says Rab Meir. V'chachomim emrim. And the other sages say, Misho sha'akohanim zakoin le'achol b'trumason. From the time the kohanim are entitled to eat their truma. Simon Ledover, a natural sign by which we can recognize this time is Tzeis HaKechovim, the appearance of three medium-sized stars in the sky, which coincides with the time when Kohanim may eat Ruma after immersion. V'afal pi shein raya Ledover, and although there is no conclusive proof that the day only ends with the appearance of the stars, Zeicher Ledover. Nonetheless, it is alluded to in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 15, when Nehemiah described the difficulties the Jewish people encountered from their surrounding enemies while they were building the second Beis Hamikdash. Shenemar, it is stated, Va'anachnu osim bimlocho, and we were doing the work, v'chetzio marzikim boramachim, while half the men were holding spears to protect the builders in case of enemy attack, me'alos hashachar, from the rise of dawn, at tzos hakechovim, until the appearance of the stars. Ve'omer, and the following verse stated, that Nehemiah instructed the people to stay in Yerushalayim day and night, so that, v'hoyu lonu halaylo mishmor, they may be unto us as guards for the night, ve'hayom melocho, and as workers for the day. We can thus derive from these two verses in Nehemiah that the day ends only with the appearance of the stars. Questions the Gemara. My Veomer, why is the second citation from Nehemiah necessary to prove the point as to when the day ends? The first one, quoted, proves it. Answers the Gemara. The second verse is necessary because V'chi tomo, if one would raise an objection to the proof and would say, Michi arvo shimsho leliyahu, that night actually begins with sunset rather than with the appearance of the stars. The inhu de mechashchi umekadmi, and the workers continued their work after the day was over. They even started before daybreak, so that there is no proof as to when the day ends. Then, toshma, come hear the second verse, wherein it says, V'hoyu lonu halaylo mishmor v'ayom locho. They may be unto us as guards for the night and as workers for the day. Thus we see that work was done only by the day. And since the work extended until the appearance of stars, we derive from it that only the appearance of stars marks the beginning of night. Kosal kadaitoch, the one who asked from this Tesefta assumed the oni ubnei odom chatshi yurehu, that the time mentioned here, when people begin their meal on Friday nights, coincides with the time mentioned in the Beraisa, when the poor man begins his meal. Ve'i amret, and if, as we said before, oni ve'koin chatshi yurehu, the poor man's meal coincides with the kohen's partaking of truma, then all three times mentioned, the poor man, the Kohen, and all people on Shabbos coincide. And Chachomim Haino Rav Meir, the other sages who mention Kohanim, would be saying the same as Rabbi Meir, who mentioned the Friday night meal. This cannot be, since the sages would merely be repeating what Rabbi Meir said. Elosh Mamino, it seems therefore proper to conclude that oni shiur alechud, ve'kohen shiur alechud, the time of the poor man's meal and the time of the kohen's partaking of truma are two distinct times. Since this is so, then we must say that the Tanna of the Braise, who mentions the time of the poor man, differs from the Tanna in the Mishnah, who mentions the time when the Kohen eats Truma. Answers the Gemara, lo, it is not so. Only the Kohen Chatshiurohu, the time of eating for the poor man, and the Kohen do coincide. The Oni Upni Odom lav Chatshiurohu, but the poor man's daily meal and the average person's Shabbos meal do not coincide. Thus, there is a disagreement between the sages and Rav Meir. Here too, we may ask, why in mentioning the time of the Friday night meal, did Rav Meir find it necessary to mention the eating of bread? Suffice it to say, when people eat their Friday night meal, without mention of what constitutes that meal. The answer is that in passing, Rav Meir desired to teach us yet another law, one which pertains to the Shabbos meal. A Friday night meal is obligatory. In order to fulfill the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos, one must eat bread, because eating is not considered a meal unless bread is a part of that meal. The Gemara now continues to question the aforementioned explanation. Ask the Gemara, the Oni Vekoin Chatshiurohu, can we say that the time of the poor man and of the Kohen coincide? Ureminu, we find a contradiction in a Beraisa, wherein it is stated, Me Emosai Maschilin Likros Eshma Boarovin, from what time do we begin to read the Shema in the evenings? Misho Shekidash Hayom Bearve Shabbosos, from the time the Shabbos must be accepted on Friday evening, which is twilight. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. So said Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yehoshua Aimer. Rabbi Yehoshua says, Misho Yuhorim Leachol Bitrumason. From the time the Kohanim are considered purified and are eligible to eat their Truma. Rabbi Meir Omer. Rabbi Meir says, Misho Shekohanim Tovlim Leachol Bitrumason. From the time the Kohanim immerse in order to purify themselves to eat Truma, which is prior to sunset. Omar lo Rabbi Yehuda, said Rabbi Yehuda to Rabbi Meir, Vehalo Kohanim mi be'od yom heim tovlim, how can you specify the time of immersion as the time of reciting Shema? Kohanim must immerse before nightfall, while the time for the Shema is in the evening. Rabbi Hanino Omer, Rabbi Hanino says that the time of the Shema is Misho Sheoni Nichnas Leachol Pito B'melach, from the time the poor man enters his house to eat his bread with salt. Rabbi Achoy, Ve'amrilo Rabbi Acho, Rabbi Achoy, and some say that Rabbi Acha said that Misho Sherov Bnei Odom Nichnosim Lehosei, from the time most people settle down to eat supper. We find five designations in this one Beraisa as to the starting time for reading the evening Shema. These are when the Shabbos is accepted, when Kohanim are considered purified, when Kohanim immerse to become purified, when the poor man begins his supper, and finally, when the average person settles down for supper. The E Amrit, and if, as we said, Oni Vekoin Chatshiurohu, the poor man's supper and the Kohen's partaking of Truma coincide, Rabbi Hanino, Hainu Rabbi Yeshua, then Rabbi Hanino, who mentions the time of the poor man, is merely repeating the words of Rabbi Yeshua, who mentioned the Kohen's eating of Truma. Elo lav Shmamino, must we not then conclude that Shi'uro de Oni Lechud, the Shi'uro de Kohen Lechud, the time of the poor man differs from the time of the Kohen? Shmamino, we must definitely draw such a conclusion. Having proven that these two times do not coincide, the Gemara now asks, Hei minayu miyuchor, which of these two denotes the later time, the poor man or the kohen? Answers the Gemara, Mistavro de oni miyuchor. It is reasonable to conclude that the poor man is later than the kohen. De I amra de oni mukdem, for if you will say that the poor man precedes the kohen, then Rabbi Hanino, Hainu Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Hanino, designating the poor man, would be saying the same identical thing as Rabbi Elazar, who designated the beginning of Shabbos. El olav shmamino, must we now then conclude the oni miucho, that the time of the poor man is the later time. Shmamino, we must certainly arrive at this conclusion. The Gemara's proof is as follows. The beginning of Shabbos is a definite time, which is twilight. Similarly, the Kohen's eligibility for partaking of Truma is a set time, namely, the appearance of three medium-sized stars in the sky. The interval between these two times is not sufficiently long to divide it and insert a third time, so that if the poor man precedes the kohen, it must coincide with the beginning of Shabbos. Since this is impossible, we must therefore conclude that the time of the poor man follows the time of the kohen. Says the Gemara, Omar Mar, it was stated previously in the Braise, Omale Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said to Rabbi Meir, V'halog kohanim mibod yom heim tevlim. How can Rabbi Meir specify the time of immersion of the kohanim as the time when Shema may be recited? The kohanim, as a rule, must immerse before sunset, while the time for the Shema is in the evening. Adds the Gemara, Shapir komale Rabbi Yehuda la Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda's question seems to be well-founded. What answer, if any, can Rabbi Meir give to this question? Answers the Gemara, Ve Rabbi Meir, hochi komale. As to Rabbi Meir, his reply to Rabbi Yehuda's question is as follows. Mi savret deano abinash moshes didoch koamine. Do you, Rabbi Yehuda, think that I base my opinion on your definition of twilight? Ano abinash moshes de Rabbi Yisur koamine. I base my opinion on the definition of twilight as given by Rabbi Yossi. Doma Rabbi Yossi, for Rabbi Yossi said, Bein hashmoshos keherafayin, the duration of twilight is like the twinkling of an eye. Ze nichnas veze yoytze, the evening enters and the day departs. The efsha lamedolov, and it is humanly impossible to pinpoint the exact moment. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda thought that Rabbi Meir bases his opinion on the definition of twilight as given by Rabbi Yehuda. So he therefore asked, how is it possible that the time to read the Shema should coincide with the time the Kohanim are getting their tevilah, since this must take at least 9 minutes before the appearance of stars? But Rabbi Meir's answer is that he bases on Rabbi Yossi's definition, which does not take any time. It is like the twinkling of the eye. Summarizing the Gemara, we find 5 opinions, each one designating a different time for the beginning of the period of reciting the evening Shema. In chronological order, these times are 1. When the Kohen immerses to purify himself, which is before sunset. 2. When Shabbos must be accepted, in other words, twilight. 3. When Kohanim are eligible to partake of Truma, which is with the appearance of 3 medium-sized stars in the sky. 4, when the poor man eats his evening meal. And finally, 5, when most people settle down in the evening to eat their meal. This seemingly dry discussion stems from the deep love an observant Jew feels toward the fulfillment of a mitzvah. An observant Jew does not look upon a mitzvah as a yoke or as a mere obligation. Rather, does he look upon a mitzvah as the great opportunity he longs for every evening to experience that spiritual uplift out of a mundane world, which alone gives meaning and purpose to his life. As a mother awaiting the arrival of her only child feels a growing impatience with the passing of each additional second of separation, so too does a Jew feel when the time has come to fulfill a mitzvah. It is for this reason our sages so painstakingly sought to pinpoint the exact moment at which the Jew may exclaim, Shema Yisrael, Ad Hashem Elokeinu, Ad Hashem Echad.